I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Greetings and welcome to Hello Pine Knob, the official podcast for the Pine Knob Music Theater in Independent Township, Michigan. I'm your host, Gary Graff, and this is the final episode of our third season. Pine Knob finishes its 2024 with a pair of shows on Friday and Saturday, October 4th and 5th, by Michigan's own Billy Strings, a Grammy Award-winning guitarist and Americana star who's celebrating both the arrival of a brand new album, Highway Prayers, and the arrival of his first son, born last weekend in Nashville. So with Pine Knob about to close, we thought we'd offer listeners a look inside some of the backstage operations that keep the place running during and even out of the season.
Joining me right now is Elmer Straub, 313 Presents Senior Vice President for Entertainment Production and Operations. And we're going to talk about something near and dear to, I think, Elmer, everybody's heart, certainly touring musicians, which is their stomachs. And the way Pine Knob feeds these musicians and their crews as they come through. What is, first of all, the venue's accepted responsibility for feeding all these people?
Well, thanks, Gary. Thanks for having me. Well, 313 Presents, we obviously oversee six venues, three amphitheaters with Pine Knob, Meadowbrook Amphitheater, and Michigan Lottery Amphitheater, as well as our downtown venues at Comerica Park, at Little Caesars Arena, and the Fox Theater. At Pine Knob specifically, and really all the venues, our job with backstage catering is just to create an environment for the client, which are the tours that are touring around, the touring acts, that it's comfortable. We want them to come back. Pine Knob specifically is a 50-year-old venue. It's a beloved venue. It's one that's in the top rankings in worldwide. So we want to keep that reputation going, and backstage catering is a huge piece of that. So the job or the accepted responsibility really is working with our contracted concessionaire, Levy, who does a great job. We start with the fact that their answer is always to try to find a solution, a better way, better product, some of those snacks, like you mentioned, you know, just to make the artists stay in our venue, Pine Knob specifically, a great one.
Sure. And it is an all day affair for your catering as well, isn't it? Because once, you know, the truck people don't necessarily know the trucks are rolling in the wee hours. And so you have crew to be fed, and then you have the artists as they arrive, as well as staff. So how much are food are they churning out on a given show day?
Oh, that's exactly right. We've got not only the tours, but we've got local stagehands, for example, that we work with. And, you know, those folks have coffee, donuts, pastries, water, pop, you name it. An area to work out of and kind of muster out of other local staff. But for the most part, you've got breakfast that starts really early. You're talking anywhere, like you said, the trucks can pull in 5 a.m, 6 a.m. Breakfast will go until 11. Lunch would go maybe 11 to 3. And then from, say, 3:30, 4 o'clock until 8 o'clock is dinner. And you're feeding, you know, depends on the crew, but you're feeding all of those folks that are on tour.
And the tours often, I mean, the tours provide in their contracts some specifications about what they expect and what they would like to eat, right?
They do. And some examples that Levy, frankly, is really good at. We had a Jason Aldean show come in, and they really didn't want to work with local catering. You know, they were used to their own. They wanted to travel with, but they're really against working with us locally. with our chefs and with the help of Roger and Lisa and Scott and everybody that's with Levy at Pine Knob, we came up with, sure, you want a protein, but let's make that a cowboy steak, you know, and let's up our starches and our pastas to like the next level. So they work with us on that. And that tour specifically, Jason Aldean ended up thanking our chefs, walking back saying, hey, this was the best meal on the tour. So things like that, we love. We would love to be challenged, and Levy is always up to that challenge. The next year, when Jason Aldean came back, they were like, we can't wait to do it again. You know, so it's kind of one of those things that adds momentum.
Any other special requests you remember from over the years?
Well, the whole brown M&Ms thing, which I think started with Van Halen back in the day. In this a while, I think that was just an attempt to make sure that the promoter of the building is going to read the rider, right? So that's something that we do. We've got our production team is really thorough working with promoters and tours just to make sure we're looking at everything. So we take the brown M&M and we take that theory to heart where we want to make sure that we're catching everything. One thing at Pine Knob is big is our ice cream machine. So it broke down a couple of years ago, so we fixed that quicker than we've ever fixed anything else. We come in, it's kind of like the twist. You go to a Dairy Queen, you've got the twist machine, so you've got the chocolate vanilla. We've got toppings. You know, you can get a cone, you can get a cup. One thing that we've done is we've added, above and beyond what a rider would have, Coney dogs, so you've got the local flair. We've got some fresh donuts that we source locally. So it's really easy to order them if they're frozen or a little cold or something that you kind of warm up. But we've heard from tours that really love the fresh aspect. So we do that as well. We do some extra action stations. So if you're asking for scrambled eggs in the morning, maybe we do another omelet station or something like that. And we try to make it a great experience. Salad bars, same thing. You know, if we have a salad bar and they ask for six toppings, we make sure we have 10 or 12, you know what I mean? Make it a really nice experience.
Sure. And I've found too that over the years, a lot of the artists, the acts and the tours talk about being healthier with diet too. And I'm sure that's been a factor as well in determining menus.
Definitely is. And I'll tell you, Neil Young toured this year, and one of the priorities for that tour to get the tour was to do a homegrown aspect. So they went from being backstage, homegrown meaning organic, locally sourced, you know, farm to table type of affair. But we also did it for the rest of the crowd. So it wasn't only backstage, but they wanted to source everything locally. And we couldn't have done that without our partners in Levy. I mean, that was something that, you know, we looked at ingredients for every single thing from pretzels to hot dogs. But yeah, that's important to tours. It's important to us anyway, but they really put a focus on it just like they do at Farm Aid. So,
sure. What would you say are the most challenging shows to feed? I think, and it's asking that, I'm thinking about all these packages that come in when you have four or five, six, you know, six acts as part of the bill. Is that more challenging than the average show might be, or is it such a system already that it just kind of rolls and there's more people to feed?
Yeah. It does get a little bit more difficult when you have, we have Riff Fest coming up this weekend, for example. And we'll have, that's really a logistical challenge where we'll have bands that are up in the front playing on the front stage and then bands that are playing in the back. The coordination of the food itself and the quantity of food isn't a challenge. It's just making sure that you have that comfortable experience for everybody, whether they're playing in the front or the back. So you're talking golf carts, you're talking, you know, where are they going to stay in their dressing rooms and things like that. So another one is, Whiskey Myers came to town and we found out that this is a special item, you know, that one of the band members was involved with a pecan farm. And so, you know, one of our chefs got a hold of that information and made some pecan desserts and things like that and put it in their dressing room, made some nice etched in personalized charcuterie boards, you know, things like that. So.
And as you noted before, I mean, the artists really do notice, and not just the artists, but the crews too, they really do notice and appreciate, don't they, when that effort is being taken?
They really do. I've had situations before and, you know, where the day is great But if coffee's not ready in the morning and hot, it's a problem, you know? If you have food that's good, but it's kind of just, you know, clanking tins of, you know, the pans, you know, and bright lights, and it's not kind of a nice atmosphere, it can tend to be, the perception is that you don't care, you know, and you're not ready to go. So we try to keep a handle on that. We listen to our promoter partner, with Live Nation, who does a majority of our shows at Pine Knob, you know, for some feedback. You know, they're the ones with the client relationships. We have them too. So we're constantly listening how to improve. So.
Do you yourself have a favorite dish that they've made back there that you're happy when you see it on the menu?
It's funny. I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's a funny story that one of our production directors, Derek Wilcox, passed away a couple of years ago. He used to love the taco bar, and he used to steer people towards it. You know, hey, we've got a great taco bar. You know, so he, you know, every time I see a taco bar, I think of him. So
that's a nice memory. Very good.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
Joining Elmer and I now is Mike Willard, who is the Senior Vice President of Facilities and Construction for the Detroit Pistons. And we're going to talk about what happens after Billy Strings plays that last note on Saturday night, October 5th at Pine Knob, and brings the 2024 season to an end. Guys, how does a place like Pine Knob, which is an outdoor theater to begin with, how do you close down after a season?
Well, Gary, thanks for having us. And we couldn't do what we do at 313 Presents, which is at Pine Knob, do close to 50 shows at Pine Knob, 35, 36 at Michigan Lottery Amphitheater, and, you know, in the mid-teens at Meadowbrook Amphitheater on the campus of Oakland University without Mike Willard and his crew, the ownership group that runs our physical plant team for all three amphitheaters. We're busy at the end of the season working with all of our outsourced vendors, whether it's ISC, who handles our security, our guest experience, Levy, who's our contracted concessionaire, ODMP, who handles parking, and then the municipalities themselves, Independence Township, specifically at Pine Knob. Then Mike comes in, and he and his team have a huge undertaking with Pine Knob, which is, as you know, one of the busiest amphitheaters in the world, and there's a lot that goes into it. So Mike can definitely talk to that.
And I think before Mike answers, we should note that great bid that Elmer just made to get courtside seats at the Pistons game. So well done there.
Well, Mike's the right guy. He's got his hands in a lot at the arena as well, and a lot of the court side, and any build outs really with the Pistons. So yeah, Mike, if you're available, I've got two boys, so we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, we've got your back, no doubt, guys. Anytime, let us know. I can't commit to front row court side, but we can certainly hook you up with something awesome. I guess starting with winterizing Pine Knob, you have to almost rewind to dewinterizing in the spring. We start doing that middle to end of February in preparation for a show that generally starts the end of May. This week it was advanced by a few weeks, which is a little bit abnormal and unusual. And some of the complexities tied with that are Pine Knob is a seasonal venue. We're in Michigan. There's frost in the ground. The grounds freeze. Pipes can freeze. So there's timing related with when we can actually turn the water on to all the buildings, which includes, any domestic water service for kitchens, cleaning, restrooms, et cetera. So the process to open it is a several month endeavor. And then to close it, we try to get it done in about 4 to 6 weeks. But we have to leave the critical infrastructure and water turned on just to get everything done and kitchens clean and food service equipment maintained. So really, it's a race against time to open the venue without the water freezing, turning the water on kind of as it relates to the timing for spring thaw in an exacted timing so that we don't turn the water on and freeze a bunch of pipes and have problems. And kind of the same issue with the race against time in the fall. So the first thing is getting everything that needs to be done in advance of the water being turned off. That's step one. We also have 8 generators that service all the emergency power throughout the venue. So those need to be left on until the water's turned off and all the staff is out of the venue. Following doing that, it's just a matter of really shuttering everything, closing everything down and temping it in. We have a few spaces that are left on that have critical infrastructure that keeps the buildings heated and cooled. So we can leave the water on with a few restrooms open and 2 or 3 of the dressing rooms and 1 quadrant of the facility on stage right. But after that, it's off for the races to get it all closed down and decommissioned, removing the tents, getting all the seasonal controls to lighting, et cetera, kind of shuttered for the winter in preparation for a magical light show that we have that starts mid-November and runs through January, 1st of January.
And I imagine so as people, when we come to shows and we look at the stage and everything, all that, the speakers, the lights, everything, you have a place to put, those come down and you have a place to put them, right?
Yeah, so most of the production equipment and ITAV equipment along with speakers and production equipment comes with the tour, right? And most shows, they bring their own gear, but we do have house equipment. We have LED boards that we do remove and we put in storage for the winter. We also every year redo the stage. We had a massive north of $1 million renovation to our stage 2 seasons ago, but every season we strip all the bad boards off the stage and refinish it. That's a process that either starts post-season or early spring, but it's all part of the process.
Sorry, Gary. One thing I wanted to add too. Mike mentioned Magic of Lights. That's something that we've added. This will be our fourth season, and we're looking forward to a great run with Magic of Lights starting in mid-November. And Mike's team's a big part of that too. So we work with Brian Slaga, who books our amphitheaters with 313, and they're working with our partners in Live Nation and Fun Guys on that one. But there's a lot of generators to go with that. So there's a lot of inspections, and there's a lot of Mike's crew riding a shotgun, if you will, with their folks to make sure they're doing things the right way. And I would say that one of the big things that Mike and I work on right now actually is when we're in budget timing, how are we going to improve backstage? Mike mentioned redoing the stage every year and the big overhaul he did a couple years ago. But we've improved our bathrooms backstage, our star dressing room bathrooms, I should say, and some of our star dressing rooms themselves. So we're constantly looking to improve things, and that process starts right now for next year.
Is there anybody who checks in? I mean, obviously, when the Magic of Lights, which I know will be announced, shortly. Is there anybody who, I doubt there's anybody who lives at Pine Knob, but is it checked on periodically when nothing's happened?
It's operated 24/7, 365, whether be it through security and video camera surveillance or actual staff. We have staff year round now. Elmer mentioned earlier, we take on capital projects. We have a phenomenally talented physical plant staff with skilled trades guys that have the ability to do small renovations throughout the venue. So we capitalize on that by keeping them busy year round and saving ourselves a lot of outsourced labor, giving us the ability to do small projects that we otherwise probably wouldn't have budget to do, right? Having our guys do it internally, getting some of the supplies from Home Depot and local suppliers, enables us to make a lot of improvements and keeps the venue occupied for the most part. Like I said, it's a large complex. We have several small areas that are not seasonal. We keep open with heat on, restrooms functional and operational for the whole season. So we keep our physical plant staff busy doing that. And it is open year round for that reason, as well as Magic of Lights.
What have you found left behind as you're cleaning out the venue and shutting it down? Have you ever found that, like, has Alice Cooper ever left a snake behind by mistake or anything like that?
You know, we haven't found too much stuff necessarily from tours. I'd have to think about that. But in a previous life, I was the GM at the Palace, and guest services would give me at the end of the season a few kind of grocery sized bags full of things that guests would leave either on the hill at Pine Knob or in the Arena Bowl at the Palace. And it was phenomenal. And we would do a lot of due diligence and try to return people's items to them, especially if it's a cell phone or keys or a wallet or credit cards or ID. But a lot of times you exhaust all effort trying to figure out who this stuff belongs to, no matter how hard you try. And you're left with, you know, bags of keys and fobs and IDs and a lot of other bizarre stuff as well. But I can't think of anything top of head.
Yeah, I can help there. Confetti. I mean, you name it, whether it's Imagine Dragons, Alice Cooper, who you mentioned, some bands will have pyro for sure. And a lot of people have confetti. And if it's, you know, whether it's Mylar or if it's like the paper, you know, whatever that is, it's always wreaking havoc. And Mike, like you said, of being a venue operator, you know, a housekeeping crew comes in. It's like, oh my gosh, we have confetti tonight. Yeah. So
times it requires some air scrubbing too.
I was going to say,
there's air scrubbing for, you know, whatever remnants of odors are left in the air.
Hey, for sure. I was going to say, by the end of the season, you're probably finding confetti that's been there for weeks, if not a couple months, that has to be scraped up. Do you ever have a Pine Knob skiers who either mistakenly or otherwise find their way shushing, you know, into or close to the facility during the winter?
I think we both could answer that in a lot of different ways, but we certainly have had people, not necessarily from the ski hill, but people that are trying to sneak in the venue from the fence that separates the ski hill from us, as well as the golf course that we are adjacent to.
Yeah, that's during the season for sure. And then during the winter, we do have a nice partnership with the Pine Knob Ski Resort. You know, we share a parking lot, a piece of a parking lot. So we try to keep in touch with them on a few different levels. I know Mike from a, you know, maintenance level and just kind of sharing property, but we do try to be good neighbors with, and I think we've done a good job of that with the ski resort.
Yeah. And our security team does a great job at identifying individuals like that. And if they're getting within their perimeter, just getting them out and handling it appropriately, but we've caught them videotaping each other on stage at the end of the season, off season. Our security guys, again, do a great job of rooting those out and handling it.
All right, gentlemen, thank you for this enlightening look into what happens. And we wish you a good postseason and a good preseason in early 2025 as you get the venue ready again for the next season.
We're already starting to book for next year. And thank you, Gary. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. Great to see you.
Our thanks to Elmer Straub and Mike Willard for being part of the last episode of Hello Pine Knob Season 3. Hello Pine Knob is produced by Ryan Anderson and is available via Odyssey, 313 Presents, and wherever you get your podcasts. We hope you've enjoyed all the interviews and insights we've brought to you during the past 4 months and that they've enhanced your time at Pine Knob. We're looking forward to being back next spring with season 4 of Hello Pine Knob. In the meantime, I'm your host, Gary Graff, wishing everybody a good fall and winter, and looking forward to seeing you all again on the lawn next spring.